Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you very much, and hi, everybody. Nice to have you back with us again. Today, we're going to be talking about the subject of cybersecurity at the very highest level with a renowned expert in the field. In our ever-changing world driving the technological landscape, if your business depends on technology, and let's face it, almost every business does, some reasonable form of proactive cybersecurity is absolutely essential for your business's survival. Assessing the potential threatscape today, just about every aspect of your personal and professional life is reliant on both technological platforms and a plethora of third-party service providers who now are the custodians of your identity, your personal and private information, your trade secrets, your credit card numbers, your bank accounts, intellectual property, you name it. Almost every type of data source in between. There's almost no guarantee that the company that you're working with or that the public or private organizations you trust are really doing the right thing with that information or trying to protect it responsibly. And all you have to do is look back at that recent Equifax breach that demonstrates what kind of disregard for security is out there among even the most powerful organizations. Now, to gauge the magnitude of that, consider this. Equifax holds data on more than 820 million consumers, as well as information on 91 million businesses. And also consider the fact the rough population of the U.S. is 323 million. And Equifax has information on 820 million organizations or people and consumers. I guess that's a better term to use, consumers. That really is unbelievable. And the other thing about it that really is disturbing is that while that hack was not the largest breach in terms of sheer numbers, it was one of the most troubling because of the massive scope involved, the nature of the information that was stolen and the awful way in which it was handled. Not to mention the fact that while consumers really can choose not to patronize a private sector company with poor cybersecurity practices, it wasn't that case with Equifax. Their information was handled over to Equifax without their consent, and you had no choice to opt out. So it was really bad news. Anyway, our guest today is the founder and the CEO of Lazarus Alliance. His name is Michael Peters. His company is a proactive cybersecurity firm specializing in audit and compliance assessments, risk assessment and risk management, governance and policies, security testing, and cyber advisory professional services. That's quite a list. Anyway, as Michael points out, cybersecurity is focused on the protection of information in the digital realm. And his company's primary purpose is to help organizations attain, maintain, and demonstrate compliance and information security excellence in any jurisdiction. And according to Mr. Peters, there are two types of cybersecurity, that is, proactive cybersecurity, that's identifying the problem before it becomes a problem, and then reactive cybersecurity, that's cleaning up and damage control after something serious has happened. Lazarus Alliance is dedicated to proactive cybersecurity. In fact, that's the company's trademark slogan, proactive cybersecurity. So that's what we're going to be talking about. It's a critically important subject to talk about, and our guest knows a lot about it. He's been in the field for a long time. He is well known. His name is Michael Peters, again, the founder and CEO of Lazarus Alliance, which is headquartered in Scottsdale, Arizona. Michael, welcome. Nice to have you with us today. How are you?
It is my pleasure to be joining you, Doug, and thank you very much.
You are very welcome, sir. I may have spelled it out, but let me just ask you from your perspective, how do you describe cybersecurity, simply?
Well, cybersecurity is really a focus on the digital aspects of our world, of our business, of our transactions, and the things that we interface with on a daily basis. You know, you have the physical world, of course, things that, you know, you can tangibly hold in your hands, but then all of the digital elements that that we you know, interplay with every single day. That's really what cyber is about. And of course, cybersecurity has everything to do with protecting, you know, the privacy and the integrity and confidentiality of that information.
That it's more and more difficult every passing day. The kind of companies, now you work with companies, so you know, companies employ you to help them
rather than individuals,
right? You don't work with people like me. It's the big companies. And we're talking about the Fortune 500 giants, the biggest of the big, right?
We definitely work with companies of that magnitude, you know, international, you know, global organizations. But we also have service offerings and things that are specifically tailored from everything from a startup all the way up the food chain there.
All right. Do me a favor. Some people may not be familiar with Lazarus Alliance. Number one, how old is the company? And you're headquartered in Scottsdale, but is your whole operation there, or are you spread, you know, around the world or around the country? What's the story?
Well, no, we are headquartered in Scottsdale, Arizona. We originally incorporated in 2000, so we're enjoying our 18th year of business, supporting customers all around the world. Our employees, by and large, are in the United States. However, we do have some employees that are in various countries and supporting clients in places all around the world.
Right, right. And just for information, I mean, you founded the company, as you said, back in 2000. What did you do before you founded this company? Obviously, you were heavily involved in the field. Your knowledge would attest to that.
Well, I've definitely been a technologist for pretty much my whole life. I originally, you know, way back when I was going, you know, in college, I really started off with electrical engineering. I switched over to computer science pretty much after I acquired my first computer. You know, and back then, software was a whole lot more simple than it was today, and connectivity was pretty simple. And I really just started learning about these computers, and of course, being the technologist that I am and very curious, essentially started what we call hacking, learning what made the machine tick and, you know, seeing what I could do with it and where it could go. So those experiences really planted the seeds for where I am today.
That's interesting to hear you say that. It started off hacking. Well, good for you. And you say that you are really pro, you know, you remind me of the fact that at one point, I had a company in Los Angeles. We were hired to document the making of the Macintosh for Apple. And I would go up to Apple in Cupertino maybe every two or three weeks over a period of about 6 months, spending a lot of time with Steve Jobs and the engineers up there who were putting the Mac together. And I remember him telling me point blank several times, he says, "Doug, this is going to change the world. It's going to change the world." And, you know, I sit here and look around. I have a Mac on in front of me right now. He was dead right. Dead right. No
Absolutely.
Kidding. And I was computer illiterate, you know, at the time, totally illiterate. But in any way, in terms of being proactive, are you collaborating with your clients, or do they just hand you everything and say, "Here, take care of this"? And do they really know what the dickens, you know, they're doing?
Well, I think many of them would like to just forklift information to us, and then we just take care of everything. The
right.
You know, the essential nature of the work that it is that we do, you know, just take audit and compliance or risk assessment, for example, it is very much a collaborative process. You know, we depend on our customers, our clients' expertise, their knowledge, their institutional knowledge, if you will, of, you know, how their organization works. You know, they know their business systems top to bottom. You know, we're coming at it from an outsider's point of view. So, you know, part of our process is to develop collaborative relationships with our customers. It helps our assessment team, you know, our security experts. It helps us to, you know, to ask better questions, to, you know, help guide the entire engagement over the life cycle of that, you know, that that partnership. We, you know, we work collaboratively and, you know, help guide our customers from end to end. Of course, they, you know, have a big responsibility for producing artifacts and evidence and responses and things like that. But, you know, we're always working together to, you know, to improve the state of cybersecurity, to, you know, provide attestation and certification, you know, reports or assessments and things that the business requires. Maybe it's a regulatory demand, maybe it's, you know, an internally driven initiative, or, you know, something is always driving that. And, you know, we're certainly there to do our part to, you know, help our customers get to the finish line successfully and with the highest level of quality in those engagements.
I don't mean to ask a simple question, but I mean, how do you work with a company? Do you come in with a, you know, every company has computers, and I assume that these companies have established or installed some sort of cybersecurity on their computers. But when they hire a firm like you, how do you help them in this effort of being, you know, proactive with cybersecurity?
Sure.
Do you come in with your own kind of security systems that you install on their computers? What happens? Give me a picture.
Well, there's a variety of techniques, a variety of approaches. Those are really driven by a number of things. Maybe it's the type of assessment that we're performing. You know, a lot of audit and compliance are really a series of predefined control questions and things that we would have to collect evidence for. And a lot of that can actually be done today remotely. We have a proprietary software package that our platform that we created along the way. It's called ITAM, otherwise known as the IT Audit Machine. And it's a separate company now that it's grown up. And anyways, it's one of my other companies called Continuum GRC. But this software package, it allows us to work with our clients. It's a secure platform, you know, a SaaS platform and a cloud-based platform, very secure. All of this information, responses, artifacts, you know, the work that we do with our team, with our clients' teams, you know, collaboratively together, everything goes in the system. So a lot of this work can be done remotely. You know, once upon a time, not so long ago, they had this capability. So, you know, a lot of site visits would have to be required, you know, travel here and there. You take screenshots and samples, and, you know, it's an investigation of sorts. So you're collecting evidence and talking to people and things like that. You know, with the improvements across the board in telecommuting and collaboration technologies, we're able to do a lot more of this stuff from any location in the world, which is great. You know, it helps to reduce the expenses for our clients and improves our efficiencies and, you know, our capabilities to help more people. And we're not stuck in an airport somewhere. And, you know, so a lot of the work can be done today via, you know, remote technologies. Now, there are always instances that require what we call site visits. It's really, an on-presence, boots on the ground type of a scenario. We go into a data center, we go into an office. Sometimes that involves, tools. It may be assessment tools, scanners, and penetration testing, and some of that very hardcore technical analysis of systems. Sometimes it's driven by the type of environment. You know, if you get into, say, a top secret very closed, a high security type of environment, you're not going to be able to examine those from remote, locations. So absolutely, site visits are a requirement there. So we do what's appropriate for our that particular engagement based on the technical constraints that we have to work within. And then, of course, following the letter of the standard or the law or, the particular regulation that we're applying in those particular instances.
Do you find that most of your clients are fairly literate in this arena? I mean, are they sophisticated enough to know the right questions to ask you, or not necessarily?
Well, it really depends on the life cycle of our client relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We find that many clients in the sort of the exploratory phase of things, there's a bit of education that is involved. We try to provide a lot of informative content on our website and our marketing and the things that we do to promote our business and to help inform, educate clients, prospective clients. There is that component. Generally speaking, the decision makers in the organizations that come to us that we typically directly work with, they tend to be very knowledgeable. They tend to be very seasoned in their, with their tenures in their particular positions. A lot of security, like cybersecurity officers and privacy managers and, chief information officers and, folks in that, sort of that layer of the organization. So a lot of them are pretty knowledgeable, certainly about technology, but also about, the particular assessment that, that we're being engaged for. In any set of circumstances, it doesn't really matter. I mean, that's really where, we bring our expertise to bear. So, if anything, their knowledge enhances the entire experience, but it really doesn't necessarily matter because that's really our job. It's our job to, along the way through an assessment, we have to answer or we have to ask the right questions. We have to provide suggestions to our clients that, will inspire, ideas and, gee, how can we prove that this system is doing what you claim it can do? So, a little bit of exploration there, asking good questions and helping the client, effectively educating them along the way. It just, you build that relationship, you build that trust. It becomes more collaborative, a higher quality relationship. That just produces much better output, the results, which are assessment reports, certifications, things that that our clients need and that we provide. But that's why we do what we do, and that's where our training is and our certifications and qualifications. So we just bring all that to bear to help our clients, no matter what their level of expertise is.
It's interesting the way you put that. It sounds like you do a lot more than really originally I was just thinking that you did, because you are described as, and you are, a proactive cybersecurity firm. And I assume basically your goal is to help prevent your clients from being hacked by some outside, threat. And it's a lot more than that, though, isn't it?
It really is. Yes, our proactive cybersecurity philosophy, if you will, but our core mission is effectively to keep our clients off the breach reports,
right.
To provide very valuable assessments and reports and certifications and things like that, that, you know, interestingly, companies, of course, need that to satisfy laws and regulations and things that are applicable to their business. But, you know, cybersecurity is so important. And I mean, you can't look at any, syndication point out there anymore. I mean, it's just full of breach after breach after breach and, you know, issues with fraud. And it just, you know, it gets overwhelming. I know, and I'm in the business, and, you know, I can't imagine what people who do not have this expertise, I mean, there must be almost a sense of despair, and I get that. So, you know, that's where we really come in. You know, we're going to work with our
I was going to ask you, the threats out there are never ending. There's a threat day, it seems like, isn't it?
It truly is. You know, it's like one new discovery leads to two other new discoveries. It's just, you know, it's like anything, particularly in technology or just knowledge based. I mean, that's what technology is. It's just the transfer of something of knowledge into something tangible. And, you know, it's true for cybercrime. The bad guys and girls, they learn a new trick. They figure out how to, pick the locks of some company's technology. They share that, you know, they sell it. They do whatever, do whatever criminals do, but it's really all about profit these days. Stealing intellectual property or stealing, financial information, assuming identities, you name it. But all of those bad things, I mean, it is a business. You know, their intention is by and large for profit. And
exactly. I'm wondering how you go about keeping ahead of all these threats. I know you could talk for an hour on that, but what's the simple answer? It's not simple, but that's your goal. That's what you have to do.
Yeah. Well, so it's really a plethora of things that, we have to undertake. I mean, sure, there's the certifications, the training, the educational component that each and every member of our team has to possess. I mean, if you looked at my credentials, it's like alphabet soup. these are things that have to be maintained on an annual basis. You know, there's just an endless amount of training and things that we have to undergo. Our organization is scrutinized by independent assessment organizations as well, verifying that we can indeed do what we say we can do. So we get tested. We test our customers. I mean, this just goes on and on. But outside of the rigor of maintaining, the body of knowledge of each and every individual, we're working as a team. We're collaborating with other entities outside of our organization, sharing information, with law enforcement or government or other organizations. We have a huge network of peers or of other individuals that we work together. Together we stand, divided we fall, kind of a thing. That's so true. And we are more commonly dealing with these cybercrime. We're dealing with cybercrime groups. Call them, gangs or organizations or what have you. Even nation states. I mean, all of these folks, these entities they tend to be well funded. They're organized. They're working together. And if we think that you know, keeping knowledge, you know, our experiences, if we think that, you know, just keeping that under wraps and not seeking out, you know, mentorships or sharing of information, you know, with the good guys and girls, well, I mean, you're not going to stand a chance. So,
yeah,
so we're very
yeah.
much involved in, you know, industry groups and, you know, we're always publishing, facts and tips and awareness information. I mean, you can look at our site. I mean, it's just a regular stream of, you know, good information, good tips, not only for companies, but we also try to help individuals as well, even though, you know, the average person isn't a typical customer for ours, but
right.
we still try to help the individual.
You know, I guess the key question really to ask you would be, how successful are you in protecting your clients from these threats that are out there, preventing them from being hacked?
So there's definitely one rule in the cybersecurity business that we've all heard about, and you don't brag, because then the bad guys take an interest in you, and they make
right.
it. Yeah. So I'm not gonna brag or anything like
okay.
that.
Okay, you don't have to, but that's the key thing. I mean, that's your job, and that's why these companies bring you on board.
Absolutely.
Obviously, you are so good at what you do, but it's a never-ending battle to keep ahead of the bad guys. You know, isn't it?
It truly is. You know, that's actually that was part of the inspiration for, you know, my entry into the career field. You know, when I, you know, I'm a personality, I don't sit still well. You know, I'm always thinking about, you know, how to make something better, you know, efficiencies. And it's just this, you know, bountiful energy, source of energy and stuff. I should be able to harness it and power a Tesla or something. I don't know. It was one of the major inspirations for me starting out. And when I took a look at the different aspects of the information technology field, security was the singular one that I thought, you know what, there's always going to be a need for this. There's always going to be a new challenge. I'll never be able to get ahead of it. And there's always somebody out there smarter. And I'd like to hire that person for the team if I could, but
yeah.
You know, it's, you know, to me it's invigorating.
Well, you are in a critically important business. I gather from listening to you and you know, and how you talk, you love what you do. It's obvious, don't you?
Well, I truly do. You know, I like helping people, organizations, you know, their customers, shareholders, and things like that. I mean, you know, the work that we do, you know, we're protecting effectively the economic engine of the world. You know, if you think about it, I mean, sure,
that's an interesting way to put it.
That sounds like a huge scale, and I'd love
it
for
does.
That to occur, but we're doing what we can to get there, right? Absolutely. You know, the funny thing is with proactive cybersecurity, I mean, it's really a good day when you don't really know that my team is there. You know, it means that we have protected the organization. We've done everything that we could to, you know, prevent that breach from occurring. The company isn't in the news for the wrong reasons. You know, they're in the news for the right reasons. So
exactly.
That's a really good day.
Well, you put it very succinctly. What a great way to wrap it up. This has been fascinating chatting with you, Michael. Our guest has been Michael Peters. He's the founder and CEO of Lazarus Alliance. They are headquartered in Scottsdale, Arizona. And if you want more information on the company, by all means, go to their website. It's full of fascinating information, lazarusalliance.com. Michael, thank you for taking the time to chat with us. This has been amazing, to say the least. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it. Okay?
It's been my pleasure, Doug. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
And that's it for this edition of CUTV News Radio. You just heard one of the giants in the world of cybersecurity, Michael Peters at Lazarus Alliance. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time here on Close Up Talk Radio. Nice having you with us, and see you soon again, okay? Take care. Have a good day. Bye for now.